Jesus, we love you. Lord, we love you. How many love Jesus today? His presence is heaven to me. Amen. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger. I will stay. In your presence, day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. I want to look like Jesus. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. Hopefully we're growing up, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, I say this often, but you know, God has given you the responsibility of keeping the gate of your heart. So it's our responsibility to open the door for Him, to let Him in. That means to fully trust Him with the most vulnerable part of you, your heart. So open the door and let Him in, because He wants to do a work. He wants to do a house cleaning. Amen. He wants to sweep the place clean, first of all. Amen. Because He's not going to dwell in a dirty house. But you got to open the door and let Jesus have access to you. All right. He doesn't kick the door down. He doesn't force Himself on you, but He invites you to invite Him. He calls on us to invite Him, to trust Him fully and open our hearts to Him and allow Him into the most vulnerable part of us, because He wants to do a work there. How many know God works from the inside out?
Amen.
He changes the heart. When the heart changes, the life changes.
Amen.
Amen. When the heart changes, the conversation changes.
Yes.
The thoughts are different. Hallelujah. The words that we speak are different. The desires are different. We want to have Him fully in charge of our lives. Hallelujah. So God wants us to trust Him. Hallelujah. When you don't trust somebody, you shut the door to them. You don't open your heart to them. And we've learned how to live a shielded life, haven't we? Because we've all been abused at times by others. We've been hurt by others. When we've made ourselves vulnerable, people have taken advantage of us. So we learn to live a guarded life. And sometimes that translates in our relationship with the Lord to where we're afraid to make ourselves vulnerable. But how many know you can trust the Lord?
Amen.
He'll never do anything to harm you.
Yes.
He only wants to do you good.
Right.
He wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. He wants to make all things new. Amen. So we've got to allow Him into every part of us. Sometimes we'll give the Lord permission to be in maybe the living room, you know, the family room, and maybe even in the kitchen, but maybe not in the bedroom or in that closet. Oh, everybody know about that closet over there? Come on. How many know it's a good idea to let Jesus into every part of your life? Amen. Amen. Because you don't want to allow the devil to have a foothold to establish and maintain a stronghold or stranglehold on your life. Amen. And Jesus has already defeated him. He's already overcome, amen, the enemy of our soul. And now he gives us the authorization to enforce in our lives what he has already done. We are enforcing the victory. That means we say no to evil. We say no to darkness. We say no to temptation, no to sin. Amen. That means I say yes to Jesus and his way. Amen. I have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. Amen. We want the light to shine in every area of our lives because we want to be filled with the glory of the Lord. Amen. The light of Christ to shine in every part of our being. Come on. Because when the light is on, you can see. You can see where you're going. So, Lord, turn the light on me. Amen. Come on, let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to have access to every part of me. Fill up every void in my heart and drive out anything that does not belong to you. I fully give you permission to have all of me. Take my body, take my soul, and take my spirit. And make me whole. Amen.
Amen.
Make me whole. Make me whole. Take my life and make me whole. Here's my heart. Here's my soul. Take my life. Make me whole. You know that one? Make me whole, make me whole. Take my life, take my life, and make me whole. Here's my heart, here's my heart, here's my soul, here's my soul. Take my life and make me whole. One more time. Make me whole, make me whole. Take my life, take my life, and make me whole. Here's my heart, here's my heart, here's my soul. Take my life, make me whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you are so good. I breathe you in, Lord. You are my life. Lord, I want you. I want you more than anything. Hallelujah. I just sensed like a shift in the atmosphere as we were singing that, and that God is just releasing another wave of his glory in this place, and he's lifting the heavy burden off so many. You feel that freedom coming. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you. You are with us today, just like you promised. And we know you're for us, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we want you to crush Satan. Crush him in this place. Crush him in our hearts, in our lives, in our families. Crush him in this nation in Jesus' name. Lord, we want you to reign over us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you. You want more? Just start thanking him. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. Would you like another helping? Say, yes, I would. You want more? Say, more, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's praise him some more this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you surround us. Thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us, Lord. Day you've made. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. And every eye will see the coming of the King. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who can be trusted? A God who means what he says what he means, who is always faithful to his promise, to his word. In other words, what God is thinking and what God is saying and what God is doing is always in agreement. It's always in harmony. What he thinks, what he says, what he does is always in agreement. No dysfunction, right? Mankind, on the other hand, may be thinking one thing, speaking another, or doing something different altogether. Amen. But God wants to make you and I holy like him, integrated, body, soul, spirit, amen, in harmony with him. That means we come to a place where we are people of integrity. That means we can be trusted. What we think, what we say, and what we do is always in agreement. It's in harmony. And we want to be like our Father when we grow up. We want to be integrous like him in every area of our lives. We don't tell lies because our Father doesn't tell lies. Amen. We may have lied at one time, and the world is full of lies. The media is full of lies. But aren't you glad that we have a true word of prophecy, the word of God, amen, and a faithful Father who keeps his word, means what he says every time. You can trust people who are trustworthy. And because God is trustworthy, you can trust him. And again, we've got to make ourselves vulnerable, if you will, to God. We have to be willing to open up the door of our heart and fully embrace him and welcome him. You know, if you ask your Father for bread, you get bread. You're not going to get a demon. Amen. If you're looking for Jesus, amen, you'll find the Lord. Hallelujah. You're calling on his name, you're not going to get a counterfeit. So God, because of his integrity, always keeps his word. So if he says something, he submits himself to that very word. So God places his word above himself, submitting himself to his own word. In Psalms 138, verse 2, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified or exalted your word above all your name. Isn't that interesting? In other words, the law of God is a law to God himself. The law of God is a law to God. In other words, God submits himself to his own word because of his integrity. That's why we can trust him. You and I have been given the privilege of approaching his throne of grace today by way of the blood of Jesus, amen, because of what Jesus did for us. He has opened the way into the heavenlies, amen, into the holiest of all, to where now we can come with boldness or confidence based upon the merits of the blood of Christ, not upon our own merits, but the merits of his blood, amen, which covers us and qualifies us to be in his presence, amen, so God doesn't see uncleanness. But the blood covers us and qualifies us to be in his presence. So now we can come with confidence before his throne of grace and make our petitions known. And it's not based upon how good you're doing at the moment or how good you did today, but it's based upon his righteousness, his goodness, his faithfulness, not our own. When we're trusting in our own righteousness, we see that we fall short and we're only doing as good as we're doing at the time. And as soon as we blow it, well, now I'm unrighteous again. Are you hearing me? So you live in that trap of legalism, of self-performance, of trying, in a sense, to save yourself by exercising your will to try to do what's right. So hopefully you'll merit enough credit with God to be acceptable to him. And that is bondage, because you and I are incapable of doing enough good to merit him who is holy. So Christ gives us holiness. He makes us holy. He covers us in his blood. Amen. And he qualifies us to be in his presence. So now we can come with a confident assurance, having our consciences, what, sprinkled with the precious blood of Christ. So even our conscience, amen, can be cleansed. And we can with full confidence come into the throne of grace. So our eyes have to be upon the Lord and not self. Like the old hymn says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing it. Oh, precious. Receive it. That flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. See, apart from him, we can do nothing, he said. Amen. We're only righteous because he imputes righteousness. He gives righteousness to us. His righteousness. He is our righteousness. You see, God wants his people to walk in that freedom that he purchased for us. And he wants us to maintain that freedom in our lives. That we're trusting no longer in ourselves, but in him who alone can save. Hallelujah. And when you allow the Lord to have access to your heart and you let him in, amen, he does the work of purification, sanctification. He sets you apart for him. And then he fills you with his presence. Amen. And we become his temple. We become his people. Our authority comes from the Lord and not from ourselves. If you try to exercise your authority, you're going to fall on your face. If it's the authority that Christ gives you, amen, he will back up what he approves, what he ordains. So if God tells you to do something, and you look at yourself and say, well, God, I can't do that. Know that it's not because of what you could do, but it's God who equips you to do what he called you to do. And so if he's telling you to do something, he's authorizing you to do that in his name. Therefore, you carry that authorization or that authority to do what God tells you to do. If God tells you to pray for somebody, amen, to bring healing to somebody, then you exercise the authority that he delegated to you. Because when you hear the word of the Lord, amen, faith arises in your heart. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord, amen. So we need to hear the voice of God. And then as we hear the voice of God, faith arises, amen. And then we step out in faith based upon the promise of God that he will always confirm his word. Not our ideas. Not our good ideas, but his word he will always confirm. So if God is saying to do something, he will confirm that word. Amen? But he's looking for someone who will cooperate with him in that. Be willing to go and to do what he calls us to do. So prayer is you and I exercising our legal authority on earth to invoke heaven's influence on the earth. Title of the message is Exercising Your Authority in Prayer. We need to pray. Prayer for a believer is not optional. Well, they're the prayer warriors. Those are the people that pray. No. If you're born again, if you belong to Jesus, amen, you become a priesthood, a royal priesthood, amen. And as a priest, we are to intercede. We are to pray on behalf of others. Amen. Stand in the gap, if you will. And so God wants to do a lot of things on the earth, but he has given you and I the stewardship. All right. Over the grace he's given us. So when he gives you grace to do something and he calls you to do something, he speaks to you, says, I want you to do this. He's also going to provide the grace for you to do what he said to do. But he needs you and I to be a good steward over that investment he's made in our lives. We ask God to fill our lives, amen, and use us well. He gives us what we need. Now he says, now go and exercise that faith in the grace that I've given you. And I will confirm my word, because God always submits himself to his word. If it's his word, he'll do it. If it's his will, he hears it. Amen? And he'll do it. So when we pray in according to the will of God, we know that he hears us. We know in the beginning, just a little refresher for some, but in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, Elohim, plural form, amen, believe the Godhead there, are according to our likeness, and let them what? He didn't say let us have dominion, but let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So what is he saying? You're responsible. I've given you a stewardship over the earth. You're to represent me as an ambassador in the earth realm. Amen. So when man rebels against God's authority, God's rule, then dysfunction follows. Chaos is the result. The reason why America is where it's at today is because of rebellion. Because God had given man the authorization to enforce on earth what he's doing in heaven. But when man rebels against God's order and God's will, amen, and tries to live independent of his creator, he's automatically going to become dysfunctional. And as a result of that rebellion, you know, everything becomes chaotic in our world. Everything begins to fall apart, because the destroyer is then authorized to step in. Who would that be? That's Satan. So if we look around in our world and we see all the brokenness, all the terrible things that are happening, all the abuses, understand it's not God's fault. People blame God for the things that they often do in rebellion to God, that have brought something into their life that God never wanted them to have, but because they refused to listen to his counsel, and they listened to the wrong voice, they brought destruction upon themselves. Jesus said, the thief comes to what? Not to rob, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly, life to the full. That's what the Lord wants for us. But because he has given us the authorization, he has given you and I dominion, amen. That's what Adam was given in the beginning. And of course, when Adam rebelled against God, amen, Satan stepped right in there and usurped his authority, amen, and became the little g of this world. And from that point on, amen, everything has been a mess. But God had a plan from the very beginning, amen, that he was going to, through the seed of the woman, he was going to raise up a redeemer, amen, someone who would step in there, amen, and pay the price that Adam deserved to pay. And all had fallen short of God's glory. That's all of us. So Jesus was actually involved in the creation in the very beginning. John 1:2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Created who? Through Jesus, the Word, amen. And he, Colossians 1:17, is before all things. There's no question who Jesus is. He's God the Son. And in him all things consist. So again, in Genesis 1:26, he gave you and I, mankind, dominion over the earth realm. What did Jesus come to do? He came to restore us to our rightful place with the Father once again. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right, or the authority, exousia, to become the sons of God. In the new birth, you see, we become sons and daughters of God again. We're restored to fellowship. Amen. And God has canceled the things that were written against us. Amen. When we have broken his laws, we have sinned against God. Amen. Jesus paid for all of that in full. The price for sin has been paid in full. The power of sin has already been broken. The power of Satan has already been broken. Come on, somebody. Jesus has already overcome it all. Hallelujah. And he wants people to understand that there is freedom. Hallelujah. In him. What you don't know can hurt you. And people perish for lack of knowledge. That the power of sin has been broken. If you're in Christ today, if you've been born again, hallelujah, the power of sin has already been broken in your life. What's my responsibility? To enforce that victory. I enforce it. I don't allow myself to go there. I don't listen to that voice. Amen. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. I'm not trusting in myself to do this, but it's in Christ alone. How many know that God's purposes are more important than our plans? Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel purposes that will stand, that will prevail. Now, try not to misunderstand me when I say this. That's why naming and claiming according to my will doesn't work. What's my authority for saying that right here? There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel or purposes that will stand. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. How many know that throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, the examples, amen, are of men and women who heard the word of the Lord, obeyed the word of the Lord, put faith in what God had promised, held on to that word, even confessed that word, amen, because they knew God had spoken it, amen, and God will confirm his word, but God does not always do what we want him to do. Somebody say amen. We have our ideas, but God does not always do what we want him to do. Just like we don't always do what our children want us to do. Well, at least I hope not. He's a wise father. He knows what's right. He knows what's perfect for our lives. There's certain things that we just need to go through. Come on. We can't rebuke it away. I'm sorry. Some storms you got to ride out. But guess what? He's with you in the storm. He didn't say if you go through the water. He said, but when you go through the water, I will be with you. He's a faithful God, isn't he? He's with us. So the Lord gives delegated authority. This is the thing. He's the head of the church. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And then he authorizes us to go in his name to represent him. And an ambassador represents the interests of the one who sent him. He didn't get out there and go rogue and say, well, I think I'm going to do this with the authority I've been given. But he's representing the one that sent him. Hear me now. So what we need is to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to know what God is saying. And when he speaks to you, then act upon it because he will always confirm his word. But he doesn't confirm our word. And sometimes, let's face it, we try to put words in God's mouth. God didn't actually say that. And he won't have that, by the way. What is God actually saying? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Jesus didn't have his own agenda. He laid it all down. He only wanted to obey the Father, and everything he did, everything he said, every miracle that he did was in agreement with what the Father wanted him to do specifically. And that's how we're supposed to live our lives, patterned after him. Now, would you agree with me? We don't always know what God is up to. We don't always know what God's will is. But we're praying for that. We're at, Lord, give me discernment. Give me the ability to know what you're saying, to hear clearly what you're saying, so that I'm not being deceived. Because sometimes the enemy will come along and try to impersonate the Holy Spirit. Yes, he does. So we don't want to rely on any other spirits, amen, except the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit will always be in agreement with the Word of God. So anytime we rebel against God's authority over us, chaos and destruction are sure to follow. However, if we submit ourselves to God, we'll remain under his protective care. And I love this. Psalms 91. Yes. He who what? Dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the Amplified says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. The word dwells here means sitting, like sitting in a secret place. The idea is that of calmness, arresting, as one sitting in the safety and privacy of his home. Hopefully you have a place to go, amen, a home where you can go and shut the door, amen, and just sit down and relax and be at peace, be at rest in your home, amen. This is the idea, is that we're supposed to be at home in him, with him. Where hearts are supposed to be at rest, at peace in him. There is no other refuge except in him. In this chaotic world that we live in, there is a peace available to us in Christ that passes our own understanding. You really can't express it adequately, but you can experience it. But God is calling us into his rest. Sometimes we're trying to make happen what only God will do. We get into striving sometimes. Well, I know what I want, and I got to try to make it happen. Come on. What we need to say is, Lord, what do you say?
Amen.
What is your plan? What is your will concerning the situation I'm facing? Not what am I going to do, but what are we going to do about it?
Amen.
Remember, even as God was pouring out his judgments on Egypt, he provided a refuge for his people where? In Goshen. Exodus 8:22, in that day, the Lord said, I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. Mm-hmm. The Lord has a place of rest, of refuge for us in him. In the secret place, the abode of the Most High, where we can sit down now in his presence. By way of the blood, we can come with confidence into the very throne of our Father. Amen?
Amen.
And be at home, be at peace in his presence. No matter what's happening externally, there is a supernatural peace, amen, that bypasses our own understanding. We can't figure it out, but all I can tell you is that there is a grace available in the Lord. That when we're going through certain things in life, you just can't understand it. You can't really explain it, but you know that God has given you grace to be able to deal with the situation. Some of you remember I recently took a trip home to visit my mom of 91 years old. And when I got there at the airport in Hartford, Connecticut, my dad met me. And from there, we went to the hospital to where she was dying. I did not know. This had all happened as I was getting ready to fly out of SeaTac. My brother called me and said, Mom has just had a heart attack. But God arranged that so I could be there to see her go. 5 hours later at the hospital, I was able to be with her and to help my dad, who's 90 years old. God arranged that. And I have to tell you that if I was just relying upon myself, I probably would have fallen apart. But the grace of God was with me in such a way that it was just undeniable. Because the Lord wanted me to be there for such a time to help with the situation. And His grace truly is sufficient. No matter what's happening in our nation, the world around us, God provides a resting place for our souls in Him. He said in verse 23, I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. Again, when the swarm of flies was coming on Egypt, it was not happening where they were at. God had separated His people. God had given His people a refuge at Goshen. Are you hearing me? And there is a Goshen for you and I, a place of refuge, a place of rest in the Holy Spirit. Amen. To where it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen. Passes knowledge. We'll guard our hearts and our minds, and that's why we are to pray about everything and not worry about anything. We're not supposed to be worried about life. We're not supposed to be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. Amen? And what? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a refuge in Him. There is a rest for the people of God. Enter in. Draw near. And He'll draw near to you. No matter what's happening, in the secret place of His presence, there is righteousness and peace and joy in Him, in the Holy Spirit. So you and I have been given an assignment of stewardship over the grace that He's already invested in us. When we're born again, amen, we receive an anointing from God. Amen. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. There comes a responsibility, a stewardship over that investment of God in your life. Now hear it. But God has always chosen human beings for His purposes in the earth. Why? Because He said, let them have dominion. So He is the head. The head is in heaven. We are the body here on the earth. We are His expression here on the earth. Amen. He wants to work through us in the earth realm. Amen. We are here to represent Him and not our own interests. We have to die to ourself, to our selfish ambitions. Amen. Lay them all down at the altar. Some things God will say, you can have that. The other thing He says, that's not good for you. But we got to be willing to lay it all down and say, Lord, I don't want my agenda. I want Yours. We need to be in the place where Jesus was, where He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Because God has always chosen, I got it right that time, human beings to accomplish His purposes on the earth. Here's a couple examples to rescue humanity in the flood. He called Noah. He called a man. For the creation of a nation, He called Abraham. To lead the nation of Israel, He called Moses. To bring back Israel from captivity, He called Daniel. To defeat the fortified cities of Jericho, He called on Joshua. I gave you a little time there to respond, okay? For the preservation of the Jews, He called on Esther. Come on, ladies. For the salvation of mankind. God needed to become a man. God became a man in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. To redeem Adam's fallen race. To bring in a brand new order. Come on. A righteous order. A new creation. Not a patch up of the old thing. Not an improvement on the old Adam. Amen. But a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For the proclamation of the gospel, He needs you and I. He calls you and I to partner with Him. He wants us to partner with Him in His mission on the earth. Listen, our security is not in a bomb shelter. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
And it's not in the government,
no,
but in the secret place,
yes,
of the Most High. Ha. What a friend we have in Jesus. In His presence, there's peace, there's joy, there's strength, there's security. Philippians 1:28, you ready? Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God Himself. Remember, we are seated with Him in heavenly places in the Lord. Ephesians 5, 2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And did what? Verse 6, come on, you know it. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are living from heaven to earth. Hallelujah. So God does not want His people fearful or worrying about anything, but fully trusting Him and committing everything to Him in prayer. Romans 5 and 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. How do we stand? In the grace of God. The only way you're going to become stable is in the grace of God. Amen? And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Why do we worship the Lord? Why do we cry out to Him? Why do we pour our hearts out to Him? Amen. Because we need Him. Amen. Without Him, we can't do it. We can't make it. It's by His grace, by His ability, by His strength. Amen. We are who we are. And we can do what we're called to do. Hallelujah. And so we need to have that desire, that hunger for His presence. And if you belong to Him, He's going to make sure you learn that lesson. Some other say amen.
Amen.
You start getting too cocky and too self-sufficient or proud, thinking it's about you now. Well, Papa knows how to take us out behind the shed and give us a little attitude adjustment. Set things back in order. Why? Because He wants to be able to use us. And He can't trust a proud person, a self-sufficient person. He's looking for those who will humble themselves. Amen. And rely upon His grace so that His grace comes through our lives. His ability comes through. Amen. His power flows through us. That's why Paul could say, in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. He wasn't relying upon himself. He had no confidence any longer in his flesh. Amen. He wasn't doing Christian service based upon his intellect. Amen. He was relying upon the revelation, the will and the word of God.
Amen.
He relied upon the grace of God to be who he was. You and I cannot do anything without him. You know that. You know, sometimes, just a little side thing here. Churches can get into a place where they're just used to doing things. And doing things a certain way, right? Did that come as a revelation? No. I don't think so. But we can get used to doing things a certain way, and we're very prone to tradition, you know, and getting stuck in a rut, if you will. And so, well, yeah, I've been teaching Sunday school for 20 years, and I'm not picking on anybody here, by the way. That's might have been teaching for 20 years. Maybe I am, I don't know, but... But, you know, you can kind of get into the routine of, well, what's next in the curriculum here?
Yeah.
We're on page so-and-so today, you know, let's just go from there. And you know, thank you very much. I'll just take the book home with me and I'll read it myself. Thank you very much. I want to hear from the Lord. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
What is God saying?
Yes.
Amen. Now, God can use curriculum, but we got to be open to what the Spirit wants to do in that. Amen. And He may say, just scrap that one. I've got something different for you today. Come on. I want to hear from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to hear from man. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. To do what? To appear in the presence of God for us. We have a great high priest. We have access to the Father through the Son. Amen. We can come confidently by the blood of Jesus into the very throne of our Father in the name of what? Jesus. We pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God knows that we need His grace. But we have to come to Him and ask Him for the grace that we need. That's why we pray, give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Prioritize His will above your own. God will always bless what He approves. If it's His will, it's His bill. God will always bless what He approves. If you're hearing His voice and you're doing what He says, He will back it up. He'll confirm it.
Amen.
He'll be with us through every storm in life because He's the master of the sea. Amen. There are going to be some storms. I think we're heading into some storms here in America. You see them already? We're already in a storm, but I think there's more to come. But I believe that God is working in the midst of all this. And I believe that God is waking up, even shaking up, come on, His church in America that's been asleep on the job. And He's saying it's time to wake up. Amen. He wants to revive His people. Come on. And He wants us to rise up in the authority that He has already given to us and enforce His will in this world. Amen. And so if we're asleep, the Lord has to first, He gets gentle with us. He comes up and He just gives you a little nudge and He says, Gail, it's time to get up. A little while later, Gail, it's time to get up. You know where I'm going with this. Gail, it's time to get up. Wake up. In other words, God will speak louder and louder and louder. What is He doing? God is speaking to America right now, and He's specifically speaking to the church in America, and He's raising the volume. He's come on. Are we awake yet? It's time to pray. It's time to repent and call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And stand on behalf of this nation. God wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. I believe it's God's will to save America. And there is a movement right now. God is moving, amen, in this nation. But we need to pray into that. And we need to continue, amen, to fight the good fight. Because God is looking for someone who will stand in the gap. And that would be us. That's our stewardship. That's our responsibility to pray. To invoke His divine influence in the earth realm. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, Lord, here. If my people, who are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves and pray. That's us. And seek His face. We need to seek the face of the Lord. Draw near to Him. Amen. Turn from our wicked ways. And then He will what? Hear from heaven. And forgive our sin. And heal our land. I am burning up with this holy desire that God has put in me for this nation and for this generation right now. God wants to do something mighty. But He's calling on His people, His ambassadors, His representatives, the ones who are standing in the gap, His priesthood. Come on, to invoke His influence here. Amen. And to obey His voice. God will obey. God will confirm His word. Hallelujah. So don't give up. Don't quit. We cannot lose. All right? Unless we quit. But if we continue to stand as we are and pray and seek the Lord. Amen. It may get louder. Amen. But God is going to hear the prayers of His people. And He's going to have a holy church. He's going to have a pure bride. He's working in this nation. The recent things we've seen happening in New York City. God's on the throne. Are we awake yet? All right, come on now. How many know that socialism is satanic? God's for personal freedom and responsibility, amen? Not government oppression. That's what they want. They want to enslave us. But you know what? I've said this before. I'm going to say it now. No man owns me. Except the man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We will not bow. If God be for us. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're standing in the gap right now. Listen. God hears your prayers. The devil's a liar. He lies and he says God's not hearing you. Let me tell you something. God is hearing you. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. You keep pressing in. Keep believing God for your breakthrough. Believing God for your lost loved ones. Believing God for this nation to be one nation under God again. In Jesus' name. Oh. Father God. Lord, save America. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive our sins. Turn our nation back to you. God, we want you to move in this nation. Move upon every man, woman, boy, and girl in this nation. Arrest every sinner. Lord, bring salvation to our nation. In Jesus' name. God, wake up your people, your church. Revive us again. Lord, breathe upon the dry bones. New life. We speak life to the dry bones in Jesus' name. And we say, come alive. Come alive. Live again. Rise again. Arise. Shine. For your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you, saints of God. You are the light. You are the salt. You are the influencers. You are the world changers. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, enables us to do what he wants to accomplish in the earth realm. So, Father, we're calling on you and asking you, God, once again, pour out your spirit on America. Awaken this nation, Lord. Awaken your church. Breathe upon us once again. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for revival from coast to coast in every city, town, and hamlet. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that the fear of the Lord will come upon every governor over every state, that the fear of the Lord will come upon every mayor over every city. We pray that their hearts will be converted, that they will be saved in Jesus' name. Do you hear the Father's heart that they would be saved? Remember, Saul of Tarsus was a terrorist before God saved him, who became Paul the Apostle. Amen. God was not willing that anyone should perish. So, Lord, we're praying for such an awakening. Father, we're praying that, Lord God, that you will convert these hearts and bring them to repentance. Lord, we pray that you will humble the proud and the arrogant of this nation and those who will exalt themselves against you. We pray, Lord, that you will bring them down, that you'll dethrone them in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord God, that you will raise up the righteous to take these positions of authority in this nation. We are believing, Lord, for a turnaround. We are believing, Lord, for a great national awakening. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord to come down from heaven. The cloud of your glory, even Lord, to rest upon this nation. That the watching world will see the Lord of glory, the Holy One of Israel, moving in this nation once again. Thank you, Lord God, that you are moving even in the Muslim nations. Lord, that you are bringing these precious souls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray your will be done, Almighty God. Lord, give us your heart for the harvest. Give us your heart for people. We pray that your love will be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that our hearts would not become hardened to those towards those we disagree with. But Lord, that we will stand in the gap and we will pray and we will seek your face and we'll call upon you, Lord. And we will not quit. We will not give up because we believe we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. As the psalmist said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Lord, we believe all things are possible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, yes. Nothing. America for Jesus. Once again, Lord.